Welcome to the Gene Oliver Podcast, where we talk all things business, art, and lifestyle. This is your podcast for building a more creative life. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at GeneOliver.com, where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gene Oliver, and today I'm talking with artist, author, wisdom chaser, preacher's wife, life and creativity coach, and self-proclaimed silver-haired ordinary mystic, Sheila Atchley. Sheila is one of my dearest friends, and I am so honored to have her on the podcast today to talk about something that I think is so important. So Sheila, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Gene. I love you so much.
I'm excited about our talk today because it is bringing other people into a conversation that we have had for
many
years.
Yes.
So many times. And so I'm so glad we're doing this. So before we dive in, will you share a little bit about yourself and your business?
Sure. I would say that my deepest, highest work is my message. But interestingly, that is not the thing that generates my income. My income right now is 99% just my paintbrush. I've been writing and speaking on the middle since 2003. And then years ago, it was at some point in the 2010s. Remember when everybody was doing those 30-day blog challenges? It was October, or they called it Blogtober. And so I did one of those 30-day blog challenges, and my chosen topic was the middle. And at that point, I'm obviously not the first to come up with the concept, but at that point, nobody had done 30 days worth of blog posts on the middle. It was on my old blog called The Season of Harvest. It's still there if anybody wants to look that up. But it's really become, the whole concept of the middle has become a lot more meaningful to me since becoming a creative entrepreneur, picking up the paintbrush, because to say that I'm a late bloomer is like a hilarious understatement. I did not put a brush to canvas until I was way closer to 50 than 40. And so words and art are like equal passions for me.
Well, you talk a lot about life in the middle. We have talked a lot about that also. You've written about it. I've heard you speak and write about this often. But what I like about it is you're not just talking about middle age. We can find ourselves in the middle again and again throughout our lives. So I'd like to read an excerpt from your blog. Okay. There was a time when I thought I was above most crises, particularly a midlife crisis. I hadn't yet learned that a midlife crisis has little to do with age. It has everything to do with how I handle dropping my plates. A midlife crisis has far less to do with age and far more to do with the fact that many, many people are aptly able to keep a lot of plates spinning for a lot of years, but no human can keep that up indefinitely. Some people begin dropping plates in high school. Most people just so happen to be about 50 or so years old when the breakage begins, because plates have an average lifespan, spin span of about 25 to 30 adult years. What? No one told you? Then a plate falls. It's a cherished and heirloom plate that ends up crashing always. And then all the other plates fall automatically when you straight up fail, a child fails, a child succeeds and then leaves, you get that diagnosis. A grown child deals with infertility. A parent dies. A dream dies. A husband is unfaithful. There is an ongoing health issue. The change actually changes you. We discover we no longer love being plate spinners.
Yeah.
It's so, so good. So let's talk about the middle and why it's become a true passion of yours to talk about. And will you share your heart and voice behind these thoughts?
Sure. My tagline says, if I encourage the women, I encourage the world. Mm-hmm. And I fiercely believe that. The thing that lights me up is reassuring women in the middle that their presence on planet Earth is valuable. Mm-hmm. And that their unique gifts are valuable, and that their circle of influence Their circle of influence is just as special as yours or mine or anyone else's. I really long to see women value their own original design. I am completely convinced, biblically, theologically, anecdotally, in all the ways, that the sovereignty of God, obviously I'm a follower of Jesus, the sovereignty of God is completely at home with my initiative. Middle age is its own thing. It feels like this indistinct period of time, but it's always right on time. And it comes with its own gifts. It's full of gifts. And I also like to describe it as that point in a woman's life when what used to be tame becomes wild. And what used to be wild becomes tame. The middle feels dangerous. And I think oftentimes it really is dangerous, because we can no longer manage outcomes by some quick little last minute course correction. If we have been facing the wrong direction, we're going to need divine intervention. We're going to need the grace of God, because there's way less space in midlife. There's way less space between my mistakes or my miscalculations and then the forces of impact, right?
It's so good. It reminds me, the other day I read something saying that men and women do their most important work after 60. And I think, and we've talked about this a lot too, it's because they have decided to love what is theirs. So yes. We've said that a lot. We've talked about if people could just love what is theirs, they have so much, they don't see that. And if they could walk within that instead of worrying what someone else is doing. And I think in 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, I think part of why you see that prolific work, it's because you have people that are finally saying, I love how I've been made and I love what is mine and I'm going to run with it.
I'm going to rock it. Yes.
Yeah. So, so good.
And that,
so,
choice, that choice point comes in the middle. When we're young, we're developing those gifts and those callings, but it's in the middle that we own them for better or for worse, or we do not own them. Mm-hmm. But then that beautiful blooming, like you talked about, in people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, only comes to the women and men who own their true gifting and love what is theirs in the middle.
Mm. Well, as a pastor's wife, you're around a lot of women of all different ages and seasons. And because of your own leadership in that, also, how does this middle season reveal itself in our lives?
I think it reveals itself in our pain points. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I sat down because, you know, when you're in business, particularly creative entrepreneurship, but any business, you have to know your ideal client. You have to know your customer. You need to know their pain points. So I sat down and wrote a list of all the pain points. And these pain points came from a mix of my own personal experience. And then, like you said, dealing in ministry with lots of different women. And here's the pain points, the list I came up with, and I'm going to run through it as fast as I can. Stress, grief, loss, boredom, shame, comparison, our aging bodies, feeling trapped, financial pressures, feeling invisible, menopause, anxiety, emotional inflexibility or fear of change, change for the sake of change, a stale marriage, problem children, empty nest, loneliness, health scares, isolation, overwhelm, being overextended, distraction, aging parents. And Jean, that list was years ago, years ago. Since then, listen to this, since then, add to that a worldwide pandemic, wars and rumors of wars, inflation, crippling fear. It's no wonder that we in the middle struggle with inertia, with anxiety. We have to have some kind of embodied making and embodied community, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Will you share about your own middle life experience and how you were able to pull insight, growth, and also the ability to share with others? Because that's the best part about walking things out, I think. If you're able to be aware, another thing that I have held to that you have said years ago is one of the saddest things to be is unaware.
And
I just think that's so true about myself. I think it's about, and then you start noticing it in other people that they're just not aware. And then you don't want to not be aware. And then right. It's like, oh Lord, please don't let me be that. I want to be aware. But see, when you're aware, you're actually able to grow. You're able to get beyond it, or you're able to work through it differently. Because once you can acknowledge it, then that's where growth and healing can come. But I think one of the most beautiful things is then we get to sit down and you get to share, this is what I learned. This is what I walked through. And I didn't just walk through it. I actually thrived after it because I was willing to be aware and to be honest with myself. And so could you share about your own midlife experience that really helped you to open your own eyes and heart to your stuff, but also to help others?
Sure. Waking up and becoming aware was vital for me. I don't think I'd be able to articulate one thing without that awareness. And that awareness for me was a painful awareness, but it had to come. First, it felt like the bottom kind of dropped out for me. I tell people, and it's true, I turned 40 and the next day I needed readers. And the next week, my back went out and there were several years of chronic pain. The next month, my youngest son dropped out of school and left home. And this was back before, just before there were life coaches. This was when therapy wasn't cool yet. And so I leaned hard into my relationship with the Lord. And I'm not ashamed to say I read everything I could get my hands on in the area of self-development. But here's the thing, I had to bring on board 20 years of Bible study to be able to separate the precious from the worthless, because that can be a dangerous genre, you know, to read everything you can get your hands on in the area of self-development. So I really had to onboard a deep theological basis for beauty and for who I was and what my gifts were. So I came to the conclusion, I decided that I wasn't going to go through the change, that I didn't go through the change, that I am the change. I had to become the change, because everybody's middle comes with a choice to change. And I'm not talking about change for the sake of change, like, getting Nubian goats and getting a divorce and selling the farm or whatever. I mean, a change of perspective that lets you love what is yours. Mm-hmm. And then if you do decide after that to make a big shift, you're able to do it from a well soul.
Mm-hmm. How did you see yourself when you were feeling stuck in the life that was, and how did you show yourself and walk towards the life that was waiting for you?
I opened my Bible to Isaiah 52:1, and I put my name in there. And it says, "Awake, awake, Sheila. Put on your beautiful garments, shake off the dust, and rise up, sit enthroned." And then also, when I was in the thick of it, a lady who I have yet to meet in person, she knows me on social media, she messaged me one day saying that she had had a dream about me. And in it, she went into a coffee shop and I was sitting there. I was wearing a white blouse, but there was a huge blotch of blood on it right where my heart was. And in her dream, she came up to me and she said, "Sheila, tell me about inertia." And that was it. The dream ended. And when she told me that, I knew that dream, especially in that season of my life, was so prophetic, because in one powerful story told in a dream, my most intimate wounds were revealed to myself, right? Mm. The cumulative effect of having my heart broken so many times was inertia. And I have declared war on that thing ever since in all kinds of ways. But I started with words. Listen to the synonyms to inertia: apathy, paralysis, deadness, dullness, doldrums, black mood, dump, funk, gloom, malaise. Listen to the opposites. Here's the opposite: action, busy, lively, activity, animation, life, movement, embodied energy, vigor, enthusiasm, high spirit, style, verve, vim, zest, zing, confidence, courage, play, frolic, bounce, bound, cut loose, dance, kick up your heels, let loose, raise hell, romp, skip, and whoop it up. inertia. I think it's so common in the middle.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to say to women right now that are living in the middle?
I want to say Isaiah 52:1. Awake, awake, put your name in there. Put on your beautiful garments, shake off the dust, rise up. You have a sphere of authority. Go love it. Find it and love it. And also, I would want to say that your middle is as ordained a season as your beginning and as your end. The middle has been set into time. It's been strategically placed between a woman's middle and her end, and it's her valley of decision. Your most valuable perspective in the middle is that of loving what is yours. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that your perspective is also your most valuable possession. My most valuable possession isn't even my art practice. It's definitely not a big financial cushion. And it's not a perfect marriage. It's my middle perspective. I like to say Jesus paid for my peace of mind, but I paid for my frame of mind. Like, I literally chose it. Mm-hmm. I picked it up off the shelf. I chose it. I stood in line. I paid for it. Jesus paid for my ultimate victory, but I pay for my present viewpoint. Choice by choice by choice, my perspective is my own, and it has been dearly bought, for better or for worse. And it's so, so important to be awake and aware. Mm-hmm. And choose our perspective very carefully.
Yeah. Well, I think you've even answered my next question a lot. What are life-giving calls to action that help all of us be present in the stage we are in, but also move forward where necessary? I think you really have answered that a lot, even just talking about your mindset also. But I think what's interesting is that there was this whole life waiting for you that you could have missed.
Oh, easily.
You were not painting.
No.
You were not using some of your gifts in the creative, really far-reaching way that you're able to do that now. And my heart is to not see anybody miss what's waiting for them.
That's exactly right.
And so what would you say, even though I think you've touched on a lot of this, is there anything else you want to add to that? Because it takes action.
Yeah.
It's not just waiting for things to fall in our laps. It's truly walking things out that are scary and uncomfortable, and they go against what feels safe. And so sure. Do you want to share any other life-giving calls to action?
I just think that creativity is one of the most powerful tools in a woman's toolbox for the maintenance of a well soul. And every single one of us should have some form of a dedicated creative practice. It's so important because, see, if all I'm doing is entertaining myself with my paints, and not serving others with my practice, then it's fine. It's good for my emotional health, but it's not my purpose, right? Mm-hmm. It's not my purpose being worked out. As soon as I take what I know and I serve others with it, as soon as I host a workshop with just three other women in it, or I make and I sell to bless my family, or I make and I give what I make to somebody who would love to have it, then I'm deep into purpose. Like, I'm not just a little bit into my purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm deep into my purpose.
No, you're you're dipped in it. You're swimming in it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a completely different experience. Well, it actually even just goes right into what my next thing I want to talk about is, because I think you, thanks for just saying things that just lead right to the next thing, Sheila. It's really convenient. I want to talk about community.
Right.
Because I think these go hand in hand, what we're talking about. And so I want to talk about community, because I think that communities of women can get a bad rap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We need community, but I believe we need community that doesn't look just like us, dress just like us, in the same stage as us and circumstances. We need true diversity in every way in our community. And it's because we need mentors, and we need to be mentors. I want to learn from those that have lost and rebuilt and loved and let go. And it's like I often say to people, if you have your own business, if you're an entrepreneur, it is a different life than people that are getting their paycheck from somebody else. And so I always say, go to somebody else who's an entrepreneur when you're struggling. Because they're going to know what it feels like to be you, and they're not going to tell you to quit as easily. Somebody else has been where you're at. It'd be like, if I'm having problems in my marriage, I'm not going to go to somebody who's divorced. I'm not going to go to somebody who's not married, right? Right. I want somebody who knows what it feels like to feel lost and then how to come back together.
Right.
And that's why we need mentors. That's why we need community. Some of the things that have helped me the most since I've been married and been a mom, mm-hmm. the things that have had the deepest impacts on me are the wise women mm-hmm. that love on me with wisdom and truth.
Yeah.
And they tell me because they know the wisdom and truth, such words of encouragement that helps me to have eyes to see that where I am is not forever, or ways to get out of how you're stuck. And so how do you see community guiding us when we are in the middle?
Well, first of all, I think it has to be a supremely important issue, because it has come under such attack in the last 2 years. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. And as soon as I tell my husband, never have I ever, he's like, stop. Because as soon as I say that, something else happens on the political scene or the worldwide scene, or even in my local community, that just takes it up another notch. Mm-hmm. Community is under real attack right now. And I would also have to answer that with a very personal story that I didn't think I would tell, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. Again, I've been writing and speaking on the middle since 2003, but this conversation I don't think could have happened until after 2018. 2018 was such a defining year for me. In the very first week, January, the first week of January of 2018, I basically discovered that the three women who at that time I would have told you, if you'd said, Sheila, who are your three closest friends? I would have picked these women, and they basically kind of abandoned ship. And I understand that betrayal and abandonment, it's a highly subjective thing, but I'll just broad brush it. Basically, it's what happens when you find out that someone that you thought would be with you suddenly is gone for whatever their reason. Mm-hmm. But worse than that, maybe they're gone and then you find out they've been speaking negative things about you in the process. So that's where I found myself in 2018, not once, not twice, but three times, and in various ways, probably unconsciously, I will give them that much. But I think these women kind of each took a page out of the other's playbook, you know, but that almost took me out, Jean. Mm-hmm. It almost took me out, because I think at that point I had not even realized how vital and what a support that community had been for me. See, I had weathered those years of back pain. I had weathered all kinds of emotional upheaval, prodigal sons, the empty nest, but that took the life out of me. But the Lord was in it. That's the weird thing, because what has happened since then is, after that incredible loss, what felt like incredible loss, after walking those women through their valley of the shadow, through their loss of a parent, or through their suffering from some of the choices of their adult children, their health scares, I mean, you name it, however imperfectly, and I know it was wildly imperfectly, but I was their friend. I was available, and I was a voice. Just like you said, I was a voice if they really needed it, right?
Right.
So suddenly I felt like, well, here I am. I'm going to have to walk through my valley of the shadow alone. But the Lord took care of me. I wasn't alone. I don't know too many women who can say that God fundamentally, profoundly, very quickly, you know, with a snap of my fingers, in the space of a few weeks or months, altered my whole inner circle, replaced it with new friends. And those women have taught me more about female friendship in the last 3 years, 3 or 4 years, than I had known for 23 years in the old circle. So middle friending and middle community is a big deal. It's such a big deal. Other than my own walk with God, other than my own marriage, it's been my greatest teacher. It's been the source of my greatest heartache, but it's also been my deepest joy in midlife. It's absolutely necessary.
Beyond even just friendships and that in community, how do you think we find mentors? How do we find people that are older than us and wiser, and they've walked through these paths? And I agree about the community thing. And I think it's actually people, because of the last 2 years, they've withdrawn more, and yes, and things that maybe 2 years ago were very easy to do now feel harder, more like a burden. Mm-hmm. And people have gotten very comfortable being more alone, but their spirit is really hungry for more. Yes. And so how do we find mentors?
I think a mentor is like a mother and a teacher mashed up together, but the most important thing is that she not be afraid of you, that she not feel like she's in competition with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also say that she's not somebody that has to like meet with you every week for coffee. The most important thing would be to first develop a creative practice of your own and a sense of calling of your own based on how you're actually gifted, not how you wish you were gifted, and then find a woman.
Yeah. Don't you think that could be a whole other podcast?
Oh, it could be a whole other one. And yeah, and I'm your girl. But find a woman who's similarly inclined, and then who has that heart of motherhood, right? And then just hide and watch her. Mm-hmm. Just hide and watch her. Serve and bless her if you can. Ask her questions, and then take her suggestions and act on them. Don't waste her time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the most important thing, circle back to thank her. So thank you, Jean. Circle back to thank her.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I would love to close with one last question. I feel like we could keep talking about so many things. I feel like we could talk about being unaware. I feel like we could talk about loving what is yours. Mm-hmm. I think we could talk about even what you just said about find women who celebrate you. They're not intimidated by you. Find women that they know their worth. They know who they are, whose they are. They know what is theirs. When you are surrounded by women who know what is theirs, there is no competition.
Right.
There's a lot of cheerleading.
Yes.
There is
an unbelievable amount.
Yeah. There's a lot of celebrating. There's a lot of cheerleading. And even what you said about those friendships earlier, I have a pretty small circle. Yeah. I'm a pretty private person, actually. And if I lost three, that would be about it. No, it would be devastating.
I thought that was the end for me. And I will tell you this, and I've never said this publicly. My husband knows this. Should I even say this? I'm just going to say it. It took an angelic visitation for me. Nothing that I saw like with my physical eyes, but I knew it was happening. It took an angelic visitation to pull me out of that. And I know it was supernatural. I know it was angelic because I felt a certain way and was devastated before and after. I felt completely different. Like I knew I was on the road to healing. And then very quickly, the Lord shifted that inner circle mm-hmm. and brought completely new women in it. And these are women who I believe pray for me behind my back. mm-hmm. Just, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Well, I think if you're listening to this and you have been hurt by community, or you're feeling alone right now, or the people that you relied on, you've been let down by them, what I would want to encourage you is there are other women out there for you. Yes. And I think that so many of the things that you mentioned of what to look for, if you go into something with eyes open, you're going to see the red flags, but then you're going to also see the beauty right in front of you, but it's going to take action.
Yeah.
It's going to take time. It's going to take stepping out and sometimes being uncomfortable. And I think too, the older we get, and to talk about the middle, I'd have to say one of the things, the older I get, the more we like what we like and doing what we like to do and not going out or not being yeah. uncomfortable. And, you know, as kids, we were constantly in situations where we had to adapt. Mm-hmm. We were constantly in situations where we were out of our comfort zone, and we can get really stagnant as we get older to just do the things that feel the most comfortable. But the biggest blessings for me have always come when I step out of that.
Yeah. I think that inertia in the middle is like the kiss of death to community. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you've got to let go of the old narratives. You've got to let go of the old hurts. You have to make doubly sure that they haven't become a source of bitterness. You really got to do the work there. And then, just like you said, you've got to get out of that comfort zone. As soon as I make an idol out of my comfort zone, I stop. Like, there's no community. There's no creativity. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'd like to close with one last question. I'm not even sure I could answer this for you. So it'll be interesting what you say.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought about it a lot.
If you say exotic dancer, I'm really going to be surprised. If you were not an artist or speaker and writer, what would your alternative career choice be?
Okay. Oddly enough, well, first of all, I believe it's going to be older women that birth and midwife some of the most beautiful art and ideas and movements, literally, that this world has ever seen. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a wave of that, and we're just like, we are, you and I and many others are paddling out right now to catch that wave, and it is enormous. Like, mm-hmm. we might die, but we won't. And so my alternative career, if you could call it a career, I think if I weren't an artist, I would want to be this amazing mashup of it: Katherine Coleman, C.S. Lewis, and Priscilla Shire. Like, all of those mashed together. I love the supernatural anointing that Katherine Coleman walked in. I love the elegant way that C.S. Lewis's mm-hmm. mind worked, mm-hmm. and Priscilla Shire can preach the walls down. So that, if I could make a career out of that,
I don't know. I actually think all of those things are very much stitched into who you are and what you do too. And so I think you're going to get to walk that out also. So I love hearing that. Would you please tell our listeners where they can find you, purchase your art, or learn more about what you're currently doing?
Sure. You can find me on my website, SheilaAshley.art. That's .art. And on Instagram at Sheila Ashley Designs. And I ride a little dirty on Facebook. You can find me there where I say the occasional funny, thoughtful, or scandalous thing, but I'm not political. I don't hold back, but it's not about politics. And I'm also going to be experimenting with doing a monthly, like, conversational style podcast with Tracy Saylor. She's Salted Words on Instagram. And that is actually going to start March 1st. I have no idea, but that, you know, what that will look like. But I think it'll be fun because she's our age, and she's a creative entrepreneur. And so we're just going to knock around some topics.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. Well, yeah. Sheila, thanks for talking today and for just giving real tools of walking through the season. And I love any time that I get to just hear your heart.
Well, thank you. This has been a joy and you are a joy. I've just had so much fun.
Me too. Thanks so much.
I created a free resource and mini workbook just for you. 10 tips to take back the peace for a more beautiful life. A free ebook if you're looking for some rest in your day-to-day like I was. Go to jeanoliver.com/10tips to get your free resource. Creativity is calling. Become the artist you have dreamed to be. After the podcast, meet me over at jeanoliver.com where you will find art, business, and lifestyle online courses. We have over 150 courses from teachers around the world. Thank you for joining me this week. Don't forget to let us know what you thought of this week's podcast and make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing. Thanks for listening and see you next time.